second.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and switch us back over to Q&A. I was hearing a good amount of background noise. I'm not sure if you guys were, but I've got everyone muted for now. At any time during the call today, if you want to jump in for a question or have some feedback on any particular item, just hit *6 on your phone. We have three or maybe even four quick agenda items to get to today. Pardon me. I'm fighting this respiratory infection. I'm in the last stages here, so you'll have to forgive my coughing occasionally. But there are three or four things that we wanted to accomplish today. Number one was we want to do a quick review of what we accomplished at the marketing boot camp a few weeks ago. One of our missions, and in fact probably our primary mission for the boot camp, was for everyone to sort of walk out the door with the marketing plan in hand, set up to generate 100 new students in the next 6 weeks. And I think we accomplished that. And we did it. We did a lot of sort of collaborative effort where schools from different parts of the country, different areas, different styles, different countries, in fact, sort of brought all of their best stuff to the table, and were able to share it around the table and sort of create pretty unique marketing plans for many. And so we wanted to review that quickly today to give everyone sort of a sense of what some of these activities look like and the focus and energy we're putting into that right now. For obviously leveraging the back-to-school season and moving into this sort of fall rush. So we definitely want to make sure we accomplish that today. Second, and sort of our primary focus today is we have had, especially this, in this last year, we've had a lot of our PeopleFormer Inner Circle members, a lot of our NEMA members in general, that have had, banner years and are in the process of, if not have already done in some cases, launching multiple locations. Joe Barucci is a good example, had a very successful launch at the beginning of the year, and many other examples. As an American Hyde.
Mike Vaca had a really mm-hmm. strong opening.
Yeah, Mike Vaca, Eric and Hyde Nguyen opened that other location. Penny Patassi has now had a few new grand openings. So a lot of folks are in that mode. They're in the mode of they've grown one location substantially, and in the process installed these sort of internal systems that we talk about, and now have a systematized business where, I remember a long time ago I read a book, I can't remember exactly the book, Master Oliver, you may remember the quote in the book it was from, but I remember the story was basically that, a business is a system unto itself that generates results, whereas, when you have to be sort of cranking the wheel, I guess, yourself, if you want to put it that way. It's really a job that you own, not a business that you own. And so a lot of these guys have kind of gone through that process. They've gone through the process of building that single location, systematizing that location, so now they have the ability to, drive enough traffic in the front door, have smooth enough sales systems that they're enrolling and renewing enough new students to make the revenue stream stable, and have, systems in place to create longevity, instructor training systems, staff development systems, those types of things, so that now that's a sustainable business model. And now they're in the mode of scaling that out to multiple locations. So we wanted to spend a good amount of time on that today. If not specific techniques and strategies, certainly overarching mindset, strategies that we should be thinking about if we're moving that direction, and some of the challenges that we can overcome or avoid, perhaps, that we've been through, that certainly you've been through, that we don't have to replicate, reinvent the wheel. So that was our second agenda item. Our third was we really did want to make sure we have some time at the end of the call today for Q&A. I do have a good number of questions I've had over the last few few weeks, but I really do think it's useful, and I'll bring those up maybe in about 40 minutes here, but it's really useful if you email those questions over a couple of days ahead of time, give us a couple of a couple of days to kind of prepare. Not only can we share those strategies on the call with everybody, but I've also loaded those questions and answers up on the discussion forum so that everybody can sort of learn from that same question. If you have a question, then it's pretty much guaranteed that 50% of the rest of the people on the call have the same question. So it's really useful for us to share in that sort of an environment. So if you do have questions, if you did bring questions to the table today, we'll have some time at the end of the call today to accomplish that. So, Mr. Oliver, I know you wanted to kind of start off today a little bit with reviewing a bit of what we accomplished at the boot camp, and we do have Carol Middleton on the call with us, who was at the boot camp and left with the marketing plan. We also have Zach Miller, who's on the call, and a few others. I wasn't able to get everybody on the phone quickly enough this afternoon. But where did you want to start? Did you want to start with that, or?
Before we I guess get into further meat of the conversation, I think we'd be remiss in not recognizing and sharing Joe Lewis's passing. And probably everybody in the call knows by now. I sent out some email notices, and Jeff Smith, who of course is an integral part of Map and Mile and Karate, and my instructor, but was a tremendous presenter at the boot camp as well. He and Bill Wallace were with Joe all last week, and really up until the day before he passed away, and made sure he was well attended by his children and his other family members. But he did pass away of cancer. He and Terry Bryant share the commonality of having been Vietnam veteran, exposed to Agent Orange. In both cases, their doctors had diagnosed that the source of their cancer was in all likelihood related directly back to their service in Vietnam. Terry in the Air Force and Joe as a Marine. So, there's been some very high profile martial artists passed this summer, and three that were close friends of mine, of course, Steve Valley, Terry Bryan, and Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis's funeral. If you don't have the information, probably the easiest way to stay up to date is go to my Facebook page. It's kind of convoluted. Facebook.com/Steve.Oliver.7315. But if you if you go there, I'll be posting it. I've been emailing some information out as well. Also for Inner Circle and people, former members, I just faxed out an article. There were two or three articles that I thought were particularly good in the Wall Street Journal today. One was on management in the NFL, which I think is extremely appropriate for a martial arts school, ironically enough. There was also one, Tobila Enjoy, which is about a company that has 126 employees with no office, operating virtually. From the standpoint of staying on top of sending flowers or sharing or attending the funeral, I suggest you go get on my Facebook page if you're not already, or Jeff Smith, because we're sharing that information. I'll be in Raleigh on Saturday. I think I take a red eye and get there to crack it on. I'm leaning to crack it on Sunday to be back here for other things. But I know Jeff will be there actively involved in helping set up the memorial and funeral services. So, if anybody has any questions or needs any more information about that, just let us know. And we're working on fishing out the video on Joe from he was the first Lifetime Achievement Award winner for NAPNA, and of course, as we know, had been a frequent contributor over the years. So we'll work on fishing some of that stuff out from the archives and sharing it. But anyway, who else? Toby, you had mentioned that Carol and Doug Miller are on the phone. Who else that was actively involved in at the boot camp do we have online? How do they flag and get unmuted, Toby?
Yeah, we already went through that, but yeah, *6 on your phone okay. will unmute you, and then we can see you pop up here.
Yeah, so anybody else who is there, pop up. But hey, let's start with Zach. Zach, you were actively involved, and you were the presenter, as was Carol, I believe, of your group for the How to Add 100 Students for Back to School. Give everybody a little recap. First, what your impressions were of the boot camp. how valuable or not that it was for you, how it did from a standpoint of giving you some ideas, implementation strategies, and then we'll go into some of the practical implementation steps that came out of it.
Yeah, thank you. I thought the boot camp was awesome. We had a really good time and definitely took a lot away from it. We had a lot of stuff to do when we got back. We've since, you know, implemented our strategies and now have about 50 people on trial, and we're shooting for 125 new students in the first 2 months at this location, 100 new students at our second location, and 50 new students at the third location.
Fabulous.
So having everybody together to be able to, you know, brainstorm and to have all those people in one room to really push out all the ideas, having the presentation by Master Smith was awesome, was a huge help. And also coming back and having our teams dole out their own marketing plans and have them have ownership was also a really, really cool idea. And each one of them took a hold of it and really ran with it.
Yeah. Good, good. So let's, and maybe to recap what you said a minute ago, you have a plan now through the end of October.
Yes.
For the school that you're personally running to be 120 new students.
125 is our goal. So.
Okay, 125. For your second school to be at 100, and for your third school to be at 50.
Yes.
And you guys have had quite a growth trajectory. You came into the inner circle at the beginning of the year. In a simple outline for those who don't know, you and your dad and his partner, you have about a $4 million a year in three location transferred after school program that had a martial arts component that was kind of limping along.
Yeah.
And since then, if that's not too much of an overstatement, since then, what kind of growth trajectory have you had as your participation in your circle has grown?
Well, we went from making about $5,000 a month from solely the martial arts at the end of last year to now we're at, as of last month, we're at $25,000. At the major location, the other two locations were making we're making nothing.
Yeah.
And now the smallest location is making about, you know, $7,000 a month, which is, you know, it's a 12x12 school, if you will. I mean, the mat holds 16 people at a time.
Yeah.
And the other location is now up to about 13,000 to 14,000. From basically zero at the beginning of the year. So it's been about triple to quadruple our income since we started January.
Well, fabulous. Can't beat that growth rate. And what would you say the trajectory from the boot camp now? How much of an acceleration do you think that's going to give you?
Well, we're shooting at our main location to go from 25 to 40.
Yeah, in 2 months. So that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so share with us. You had a pretty strong group there that you were working with and putting together a plan. And of course, the mission for all of a boot camp with a plan for 100 new students for back to school. And each group decided what they wanted the actual monetary outlay budget to be. But what was the budget that your group decided on?
We only decided on about $5,000.
Okay. So $5,000 spent over a couple of months in order to generate 100 new students. So give us a sense of what that plan looked like in, you know, maybe not excruciating detail, but a pretty good overview.
Well, basically, it had a lot to do with a lot of legwork, getting out and doing, and we had about 20 different things that we were doing over the next 2 months, including, you know, festivals and fairs and putting out rack cards and putting out the lawn signs and getting out to do internal marketing with buddy nights and birthday parties and pizza parties and community events, maybe movie theaters. We had just a whole lot of internet stuff that we were, that we were doing, getting out just different types of deals, doing direct mail pieces, mailing to old clients who hadn't signed up, things of that nature. And I don't want to go into, everything that we're doing just because it would take a while, but
sure.
About 20 different things that we're going to do over the next, for the next 2 months to really just drive it home.
Good. And how realistic did you feel like the plan was? I know you're working with about 10 school, different school owners there. How realistic did you feel the plan was?
Oh, I thought it was very realistic. I mean, it was just, we were even pessimistic, as you made us be, when we were making our plans and just saying, you're going to get 5 people from this, maybe 2 people from this, maybe 3 people from this, but add it all together, and it really made it easy to get to that 100.
Yeah. Good. And so what was one of the key implementation strategies that perhaps you left with a better perspective than you started with?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we took away, my father and I took away from this weekend, was our internet strategy. I know we spend a particularly long time on internet stuff, which we walked away and said, we're not doing any of that right. And Master Milroy can attest to that. And he goes, well, how many people are opting in on your website? And we go, zero. And he goes, well, that's not good. But we took away a lot of internet stuff, and a lot of stuff that we can do to capitalize on the internet was one of the biggest things that we're working on right now, trying to get that stuff up and running.
Good. And was the framework for the boot camp helpful in really kind of understanding better how to implement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as much as I really, most of what I took away from it was, you just got to do it. And I mean, it was a lot more complex than that at the meeting, but it really boiled down to just get up, get out, and start doing stuff, I thought.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and obviously understanding the framework and putting those pieces together. And,
yeah. Understanding what everything needs to have on it, understanding how the copies need to be and what's important and what's not important was really big as well.
Yeah, and that is one of our follow-up steps, by the way. We're going to do a series of webinars to help people implement all of the ideas that we shared there at the boot camp. Because again, it's one thing to everybody in a room and try to walk through it all. We did that, I think, in pretty deep, extensive detail. Something else to then put your hands on the actual computer and get it to work. So, Master Milroy, that's our other promise for the next couple weeks is to expand upon the boot camp. And Zach, don't go away. Let's have Carol share as well. So, Carol, give us first your thoughts on the boot camp, and then some outline on what the action plan was that your group came up with separately.
Well, the boot camp was revolutionary for us, and it just, the simplest things in a way had the most impact on me and on my staff. It was really helpful to have my staff there because I didn't have to go back and talk them into it. They were there. They caught the enthusiasm, and GSD was what I learned the most of, which you could call it get stuff done. And before, we would want to have it just exactly right. We'd really want to jump into one thing at a time. And we found that the Parthenon idea of having a series of things going all at once, and you don't have to be absolutely perfect, just get it done, get it started, do it. We sat with our particular group and came up with a little over a dozen ideas because we thought that's what we could really do. It would be great if we could do 20, but if you haven't been doing, you know, but 3 or 4, it's hard to jump to 20. So we decided to jump to like a dozen things, and they perhaps were willing to underspend at only a $5,000 mark. And I have found, I came back, just the fact that I sat down and thought, okay, what are the dozen things I can do here? And I might not have to keep it to only $5,000. Really helped. It really helped me to just get there and just do it. The ideas we came up with, one of them, and these were all things that people had actually tried. So one of them was a lead contest. And we would get the people in the school. We had something called, well, we've just made them e-cards, and that's that you can, for $10 or $20 or $30 or $40, you can have a card that people buy that the students can sell to their friends, and then they get an entire month of martial arts, plus maybe a T-shirt or a uniform and a semi-private lesson with the instructor beforehand. And it's super, super good deal, but it gives something that the students can really get into to sell. And then either they keep the money or you take it to a nonprofit and then they sell it. But in this case, we said, we'll have the students be selling these, and then let's see how many of them, how many leads do they actually bring in. And they could bring it in another way if they wanted, but this made it easy. And the person that brought in the most leads would get a free bike. Of course, any school can decide what they want to give as free, but just to get some more energy in the school, to get some more excitement about it and more participation of the students to either sell these lead cards, the e-cards, or to get leads in any way. Then somebody else said they'd also done setting up a booth at a 5K run. And whereas I'm always looking for community festivals and fairs, I hadn't thought about the 5K run. And they still had the spin wheel and whatever other way you want to get the word out to get people really involved. And they said these are athletic people, and it really worked well, and they really got a lot of leads out of it. On each of these, we decided what the cost would be, and we mostly went for pretty low-cost things. And then what would be the worst and the best in terms of how many people would we get out of it. So like on the lead contest we threw, that only cost $200 for getting the word out, basically, aside from the e-cards or whatever else you're going to use. And that we figured at the worst we'd get 4 leads because we had the contest. And at the best we might have 20. Then the 5K run, similarly, we said the cost might be $500, and worst 2, best 5 people. Then a buddy week, this is a pretty standard thing, and the good thing about it, it doesn't really cost much other than if you're going to print some cards or you know, some type of advertising. And then a gym class, and I thought this is a really good idea for me. There are a lot of elementary schools around here, and go in and teach all their gym classes for a day, and what you're teaching is your stuff. You're teaching your martial arts. And then, first of all, you get leads out of that because each one of them has to get a permission slip from their parents, and also you build a good relationship with the school. So however many we said, the worst would be 5 people out of it, the best would be 10 people out of it. But regardless, you're building something. And then be part of school open houses. I felt like a, you know, numbskull because we have a class in an elementary school. And I've gone and attended their school open houses at the beginning of the year. And I never did anything to get the word out about us. I just wanted to know what they were doing. And they said usually they'll let you put out a table or a booth or something, and then you can give away various things to the kids to keep them interested in coming in. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, should have done that before. And then, you know, Valpak, Money Mail, Red Plum, these are various types of getting the word out through, you know, mailing various things. And or Red Plum is if the usual circular that comes out in your paper about the grocery store and so forth and all those things that are in the paper, they send it out also to homes that don't necessarily get that newspaper. And so I always get them. And put out a one sheet thing in Red Plum, and that would be maybe $500, maybe more if you're in a big urban area, and you may not get a lot of people out of it, but the point being, you have to do a lot of different things. So if you even only get two people out of it, but you get two people here, five people there, et cetera, it all adds up. And so I've decided for the first time, go ahead and try those things out. And then a Facebook special, really all that would be is get the word out via Facebook about the, e-card or enrollment card special or whatever special you're running right now. And it'd be just one more way to get that special out. And then the e-cards themselves, and the thing that most kind of shocked me was the printer that you all are using and recommending, Greg, because I was just about set to spend about $3,000 on only 2,000 e-cards, and for a whole lot less, I was able to get 5,000 e-cards for karate and 5,000 e-cards for Krav Maga, and I expect big results from that because, as I mentioned, we're going to go various different ways to get these out for $19.99 in our case, and they get a semi-private with the instructor and a uniform and 1 month of martial arts lessons. So we're really excited about that. And then rack cards, and again, I always wanted it to be just perfect before we made it, but it's not that difficult if you go to Greg because they've got various things you can kind of use and plug your stuff in.
Yeah, and to help everybody on that, Carol, it's all mm-hmm. set up on the NAPMA member site. So if you go to the print on demand section, what's the actual title of that section? Tell me.
It just says that it's the NAPMA Marketing Center.
Yeah, so if you go to the NAPMA Marketing Center, all that stuff is already set up, just print on demand. And so you can just fix your phone number, add your logo, whatever you want to do. And the prices are, as you said, just unbelievably and you can get just about anything you want that we already have pre-done for you there.
Right, and since I set up an e-card, he said, well, if anybody else wants one, now they have a format and they can build theirs off of that. And he's really, really good to work with. He's not aggravated about it when you want to change things and so forth. So not only is it a really good price, but it's a really good guy to work with. I'm just totally amazed. And then we just had a couple of other things. We had birthday parties. Perhaps most people have heard about that. It wasn't even any cost because people pay for the birthday party. You have it in your school. You do it whatever way you want, but they're all going to go through essentially an intro, in my case, in karate, and you give something out. Maybe you give them all out a uniform and give them a free intro, and you book it right there. Book it right there when the parents come in or as they arrive that they can get this deal. Instead of how I used to think of it is, well, then we'd try and call them later. But we didn't, we didn't go about it as aggressively as we could have. And then have a fall festival or some kind of event in your school that's just one of your monthly events. You can hand out free things, get up the energy for people to come in and want to bring their friends. It's kind of like a buddy day instead of buddy week. But everybody wants to come. The students themselves want to come because it's something fun. You set up different fun activities to do, and they'll want to bring their friends. And it's not necessarily about karate, but it just gets people aware of where the karate school is and how much fun these people are. So we got that in at like $5,180 when we figured about $5,000. So it really is entirely possible for schools that aren't big schools with big budgets even to have multiple things going on and just go do it, just get it done. And I have to say that I was so glad to go to the marketing boot camp because it got my staff ready to jump into it, and we had all the specifics of the ideas. But even without that, you can go on, the NAPMA membership area and find out. You can see videos about the different things and get more ideas about how to carry them out.
You bet. Hey, go back to Zach for a second. Hey, Zach, we recorded the entire boot camp from somebody who wasn't there or even if they were there for their staff who were not there. How valuable do you think the recordings will be for a school owner trying to rapidly grow the way you guys have been doing?
Well, I think the recordings would be infinitely valuable. To be able to not have I think it was more valuable to be there, to be able to get all your questions answered and to be able to get the input of everybody, and even taking the time to talk to people after the event. But I do think that, you know, if you couldn't be there, the videos will be definitely valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't overstate two things. One is the value of the content I'm not objective, but I think it was incredibly valuable. But number two is the any of these live events, the opportunity to end the event, have every question answered and not move on until you understand what's going on. But see, I think a lot of the opportunity, and maybe Zach, you're used to being kind of at the top end, and so it's not as obvious to you, but, you know, hanging out with a school like yourself or like Carol, you know, somebody who's been in the industry for, 30, 40 years and has been there, done that, seen everything, the ability to interact with high-level school owners and to really understand what the process takes, and frankly, to recognize that people who are way above where you may be at right now, got there without having to be, off the chart IQ and well-funded, but went through the same struggles and strides that everybody else goes through. And to me, it's always been a way of cutting 20 years off your learning curve.
It's way easier to have somebody else make all the mistakes than to have you make all the mistakes and try to go what we went through.
Exactly.
I sat with Zach and his dad and talked about exactly how they did the e-card, for example, and whereas I already had the idea, I got these little ideas that can turn it to be so much more effective. It was amazing. So even if you're doing it, you know, you can get ideas from the people that, if they sat and wrote it up even, they wouldn't necessarily come across with all these things. It's so valuable to be there in person.
Absolutely. And we have, you can speak to it more directly, but we have four or five different iterations of that idea with artwork that will be going up over the next couple of months. We have what I call the raffle ticket booklet form of that, what I call the children's hospital form of that, and then more specifically kind of exactly what you're referencing, Carol. All of that will be going up on in the Marketing Center print on demand over the next couple months. Is that a fair thing to say, Master Melanie?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would remind everybody in the call, anybody else who is at the boot camp, please speak up, because we don't know if you're there or not. So hit *6 and let us know you're there. But for everybody who wasn't there, write this down, 727-540-0500, extension 202. Bob Dunn, so everybody knows Bob. Give Bob a call, and he'll tell you how you can get the complete recordings of the boot camp. We did make great pains to get everything recorded, other than the more private Inner Circle meeting on Saturday. But we do have, I think we have that recorded, but it tends to be more personal issues for some people, so we did not share those broadly. Hey, Carol, the other thing I meant to ask you about that boot camp, and as you know, it got kind of busy, and we had some new guests there that I was happy to have as well. But tell everybody about my visit out to Krav Maga, D.C. How did that go, and what were the impressions?
I thought it would really, I had no idea how many things we were going to cover. We covered everything from statistics, staff training, walk around the area and see what are the opportunities that are just staring us in the face right around us, and we haven't ever even thought of them. We're just like broadcasting our advertising here and there and not thinking about, look at all the apartment buildings that are in this area. We could go to the general manager, and that's something I honestly just never thought of. And having Stephen Oliver look at our facility and give us specific ideas of, you know, what you ought to do is get an area over here where you could do this, and I would clear this stuff out. It's not really helping the look of it. And look at our how we're doing the exams and how we could divide it down so that we don't take so long between exams, how we could divide the curriculum up so that that's possible, and talking to the staff about basically getting behind a lot of these ideas. And at first, you know, they may be not so sure they really want to go there, but I have tried to talk them into this, that, and the other thing, but I don't have all the stuff behind it and the stats that and the experiences that different schools have had that Stephen Oliver can share. And then you see them gradually letting go of some of their resistance and thinking, yeah, this really is a good idea, and even adding to it. Like, we decided based on that to increase our prices in both schools, pretty much a dramatic jump. And before, when I would say, let's raise the price, I'd be like, well, we're not going to be able to do that. That's not going to work. Everybody's going to quit. Nobody's going to want to join. We'll lose business. But by having him there, giving chapter and verse experiences and how it has worked quite the opposite, then it was really hard for them to argue with that. And in fact, they became enthusiastic. And so we already had launched an upgrade program in karate, but he specifically came to the Krav Maga school, and they were very much like, oh, that's not going to work. And so we talked about it, and now they're willing to do that. So we covered so many different areas. And he sat there with a big easel and the pages and writing it down in front of him, and them, you know, taking notes and sitting there and really listening carefully. And so I would have to say, we made a quantum leap forward, in not just for myself and my husband looking at how we can do things, but the staff being on board with us and understanding things and analyzing, you know, the business in a way that we just never quite looked at it that way. We didn't have as big of an overview as Stephen Oliver. I found it incredibly, incredibly useful. And some things that I've been asking for some time, like, look, guys, we need to have a sign out front. This is ridiculous. And they're like, okay, I'll do it. No, nobody ever did it. And him saying the value of that sign, and let's really talk about what could it look like? Where could it be? How could you use your windows? And maybe they'd let you put a QR code inside downstairs inside the window, or something that looks like, because we're in a really posh place, and they've just said, you can't put anything on those windows. We don't want like a junky place. But then after that, we had the guts to go and talk to management about doing it, and they're going to let us do some of that. So it was just incredibly useful. The kind of stuff that, I mean, I've been going to these meetings for 40 years, and regardless of that, there's some stuff that just never crossed my mind, or I just didn't know. The advantage of having somebody go in and analyze your exact business and your specifics and give you specific advice that works for your area, makes the most of the exact kind of a region that you're in and the facility that you have, and that kind of advice was just invaluable. I would have paid a whole lot for it, but I managed to get it as part of a package that they had for, you know, if you join this and sign up for a certain amount of time, then it's part of it. So I would have paid him out a huge amount just for it to stand alone, but it was really, really valuable.
Toby, you got that recorded, right?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, okay. We
and I still mean to write you a testimonial, but the problem is I've thought of so many different things to say, I can't hardly narrow it down and say something real brief that could go in a written testimonial. But I know I really, really, really should do that, because you don't get something like that and not pass it along to everybody. They should know how valuable this could be for them.
Well, you know, let me summarize what you just said a second, and correct if I misstate or overstate. But one of the advantages of the personal on-site thing is oftentimes there are things that are just obvious to, let's say, you know, a trained eye like mine that you might not see, being there day in and day out. And I part of what it is even if I were to come in and say all the things that you would have said to your guys, is I'm now the outside expert who comes in that they listen to, and they, you know, are already trained. trained to discount what you're saying. And so part of the advantage is in having somebody come in who they're going to listen to with a fresh ear and perceive to be, the outside that really has a long history and understanding of things. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, really? It was really, well, yes, that's true.
I think another thing that's useful is so many times, you go to seminars, you hear CD recordings, you watch DVDs, but sometimes there are just significant pieces that are missing that without somebody really coming in and looking live over your shoulder, you would never catch. And, it's unfortunate, but, I've had people who thought they were fabulous instructors who with, 10 minutes of critiquing their class could double or triple their effectiveness just because they had behaviors that they didn't recognize. And sometimes it's been facility setup, sometimes it's been missed opportunity, other times it's just been, and we get blinders about our own behavior. Probably a third thing that I would say is fairly unique to me, but I think one of the skills I've learned over the years is to spot marketing opportunity pretty quickly. And one of the, you talked about just walking around the building, but one of the useful things is and in your case, walk around the building usually to get in the car, but just what does the neighborhood look like? What does the block look like? What does the residential look like? What are the events, opportunities, organizations? And it's something that a lot of times I can see that nobody else picks up on, of just, here's where another 100 students a year or another 150 students a year could come from, frankly, without that much more effort. Is that a fair thing to say after having been there?
Yes, and you analyzed it and showed us, you got on your phone and looked up Zillow and said, they're paying this much for these apartments around here and for these places, and you knew how to mine the information that I just had no clue. I had no clue. It's right there at your fingertips, but I didn't know that.
Well, and I have a tendency to annoy people because I ask about 10 questions that you don't know any of the answers to. That from my perspective, he should. Even though that's annoying, it's enlightening at the same time. Is that a fair thing to say?
Leave out the annoying and the enlightening part, absolutely.
Okay.
I was just amazed rather than annoyed.
I think your husband was annoyed with me. For
oh, okay.
Because he kept trying to tell me the way it was, and I kept on
right.
why it was full of it.
That's true, and I'm so glad you did that for me.
I think perhaps eventually I won him over, but
that's true.
I could tell at the beginning that it was a little bit of what I thought a blinding flash of the obvious, that it wasn't necessarily comfortable. But
that's right.
Hey, without us belaboring that, thank you for your feedback there, Carol. So. Anybody else who is at the boot camp that we haven't recognized yet that's on the call, hit *6 and jump in. So I know we have a couple of other topics we have to hit with our 44 minutes last year.
Hi, Toby, Stephen, Michael Marion. I was at the boot camp.
Hey, Michael. So give us your feedback.
I think the boot camp was excellent. The whole Parthenon idea is something I've never really built on before, and I came back and implemented about 12 things, and we're sitting on about 25 hot leads, signed up 10 students since then, and it looks like September's going to just be gangbusters for us.
Good. And from a standpoint of the action plan that your group came up with, tell us what was on the list without too much duplication.
It was bandit signs, doing emails, get old students back. Modified my website a little bit just so that we get an autoresponder that tells people to phone us. And I talked to Penny Patassi, and she gave me an idea of what to say in our response to get people to call back. So that was very valuable. And it's been it's worked well. We did a direct mail to email, started pushing the birthday parties. For the first time ever, I did the bandit signs. I've got them all around the city. 10,000 flyers. We just keep pushing, and it's been working great.
Fantastic, fantastic. So do you feel like you have a realistic plan to add 100 students in the coming 60 days?
Realistically, I think that I don't know if I can handle 100. I don't know if my curriculum's correct yet, but
yeah.
I'm sure I can take on another 50 easily, and I'm sure we will.
Yeah,
we were at about 130 students. We're at 151 now, and I'm sure by the mid-October we'll be at 200.
Sounds good.
The amount of leads that we're sitting on right now that are all hot. They've all come in for their first intro, and we're ready to prep them and get them in for the second intro. They're all booked. We're more organized. We have a better process for doing it now.
The Michael, from your standpoint, having attended the boot camp, what was a surprise, or what was perhaps different than your expectations when you came?
The open forum was good. The way we sort of you flowed with the questions.
Yeah.
And we were able to ask questions and get a response and drill down on something and work out an answer, make sure everybody understood what was going on. And as always with you, it's the just do it factor.
Yeah.
And I came back with the just do it attitude, and it's working.
Good, good. Yeah, so much of it is, as Carol, you articulated really well, is so much of it we all think we have to understand every detail and waste a year in implementation. And an awful lot of the effectiveness of implementation is just getting on the field and getting it all done. And you know, and frankly, doing it okay until you get pretty good, and doing it pretty good until you get perfect. And frankly, with marketing concepts, there really is no such thing as perfect, because as soon as you get one iteration of the idea that's really clicking along well, either the market changes underneath us. That's why we have to stay, you know, ahead of the curve, or frankly, you know, there's just another iteration that's either easier to implement or more effective.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that happened was that we opened up our minds more, because you know, our staff was so sick of Groupon deals, and we'd tried all kind of Groupon deals, and I just thought, oh, I'm never going to do that again. But people were talking about, no, they managed to get it to work if you did this and that. So then I found out Zosi, another Groupon type of a deal, but they were willing to have a higher-end deal instead of for $19 you get 10 weeks or whatever, and they make all the money. They were, like, willing to take half the money for something that costs, like, $150, and they were willing to sell for half that. So we don't have throngs and throngs of people flooding the place to where we can't even join the ones who normally would have joined. And so we're gonna try that. And you said about being out in the community, and so I'm going to the Rape Crisis Center, DC Rape Crisis Center's 40th anniversary, where normally I would think, oh, God, they want me to come to this. Oh, God, I don't have time. But I'm thinking, you know what, let me get there and reconnect with all these people, stay part of the community. And then also radio doesn't work. But I found out that in DC, once I looked into it, I thought, you know, open up my mind, expand what might work. That a lot of people in D.C., because of all the buildings, they can't really get radio very well, but there's one called Hot Radio that's pretty popular, and a lot of government workers and people that are downtown get it on their mobile devices. So I'm going to advertise for a whole lot cheaper. I'll be on radio, but it'll be right to the people who are honestly right in our area and who are getting radio, and they're sitting there with it on their earphones all day long, and we'll see how it works. But, you know, try it, and then instead of saying, oh, that doesn't work and this doesn't work and I've given up on so many things, then I'm cut down to half of what I might try.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, it's just, you know, you continue to open your perspective. It's what I've always said about, you know, really wealth in a martial arts school. And until you really expand your horizon to have a belief system that's advanced enough, is you stay in your own little box.
Right.
Somebody I heard the quote recently is, you know, don't get out of the box. You know, there is no box. And I think that's a good way to phrase it. But until you get out of your perceived limitations, it's really hard to make those, you know, those quantum leaps. Good. Well, thank you, Carol, for that feedback. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Zach. And so why don't we do some Q&A on the things that they said and then go to our other couple of topics.
I had myself on mute. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anybody has specific questions about any of that, star 6 on your phone will light you up and you can jump right in.
Yeah. And I'd recommend, if you weren't at the boot camp, and then for peak performers in our circle who were or were not at the boot camp, you'll have access to the recording online before long. So we don't know what your digitizing schedule is. That's quite a lot of content. Well, what would we decide, about 15 hours?
Yeah, it's. I think it's like 18 or 19 tapes, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. While everybody's getting a chance to organize some questions, I'll remind that our Peak Performer Inner Circle, we're going to be in Anaheim at Disney early in October, and we're filling out details with everybody right now on that. So if you're a member of those two groups and have any questions, stab them off to us quickly. Also, if you're not and want to be included in that, you need to talk to us quickly and see if you qualify. But anyway, any questions of marketing back to school related to boot camp or questions of your own Mike Fuller or Zach?
Steven?
Yes.
Steven? This is Greg Tierney, first time caller.
Hey, Greg.
Hello.
Good to have you.
How are you?
By the way, that was a heck of a photo of you on the cover of MA Success this month.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I had a question. I heard someone mention one of the promotions that they were doing where they were giving the students the intro packages, allowing them to sell the package, and they keep the money. I wanted to kind of get an idea of what kind of package they were selling and how it worked for them.
Let me, that was Carol, and let me give a quick answer and then shift it back to Carol. Is Rick, you remember when we did all those fundraisers for Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
And there was a year, I forget what it was, 18,000 or 20,000, you know what? There was a fairly big amount of money that I had fundraised for Chuck Norris. And when we did that, it was exactly this idea.
Okay.
What we had done at the time is printed up like raffle books. And it was and I don't remember what price point we were using at the time, but it seems to me that it was $24.97 or $29.97. And
uh-huh.
It was for the kind of the classic VIP offer. So
yeah.
Say it's 5 weeks, uniform, free semi-private, class with the instructor, free personal evaluation. So that's what we had done to raise all that money. And it worked like a charm. And
yes,
it worked so
it
well
did.
That frankly I didn't do it again for several years.
Uh-huh.
And then his e-card idea was one that we did a little seminar to it with YKTM and he was talking about. And I joked that I said the seminar for, probably 6 or 7 iterations from New York to LA to Chicago and to Dallas and didn't know what they were talking about. And
mm-hmm.
then Paul, we just talked to Paul's son, Zach, did like 100 intros the first week of the year with the V-card idea. Well, the E-card idea was, what's the show, $10.70?
Well, you could do it for, his was $10.99. I did it for $19.99.
Yeah. So, but that duration was $10.99 for the same offer. So,
okay.
And in fact, Kurt described as VIP on steroids. So basically, like the typical VIP offer, but just letting the student or an organization go sell it, and then letting
mm-hmm.
them keep the money. Another
mm-hmm.
iteration is, what I used to do with public schools, and then the Tovars started doing it as the teen center idea, and I called the children's hospital idea. Is another instance actually doing it for like $49.97, the same package of things that they're getting that then you can give to a charitable organization or a school organization to go sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're going to have a bunch of iterations of the artwork up on the website before long. price point really only has to do with quality of lead.
If you
send 100 kids out to sell something for $4, a lot of people, when they knock on the door, are going to give them $4 just to get them to go away or to donate to the kid, and they didn't really have any intent to do the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that dynamic probably changes around $14, and the closer you get to being $39 or $49 or $69, the more they had to spend a little bit of time thinking about it. But it's a matter of how much lead flow you want also. If I'm kind of slow, I'd rather have a lot of flaky lead flow than tamp down the faucet. However, once I've got the lead flow going, I'd rather tamp it down a little bit and have each one be a little higher quality.
Okay. Now, when they did these promotions, did they had it for an introductory 1 week, 2 weeks, or a month? How did that work?
Typically for a month or 5 weeks.
Okay.
So again, you know, this was kind of the classic VIP offer. I think I did it when we did it that time I referenced it with the Chuck Norris deal as a 1 month.
Okay.
And so it was listed as 1 month uniform, free semi-private class with the instructor, free personal evaluation. And we have a pretty elaborately produced DVD, CD package. So they'd always list that on there. And all the artwork will do the value build, right? So the 1 month lesson was worth $150, $200, the uniform's worth $50, and the semi-private class with the instructor is worth $40. And so it's a $250 package that they're getting for, like Carol said, $19.97.
Okay.
If I may add real quick, one of the most important parts is that even though you give them a month, you're still signing them up on the second or third class.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, it doesn't work.
Exactly. All right.
Exactly. And that's a universal, we should point out for everybody, is I still talk to a lot of pretty high-performing schools who do a one-month offer and tell me that they go try to start talking to them in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And what I've always seen, and it seems to me that if it's an adult, enrolling most of them after the first lesson, some of them scheduling into the second lesson is ideal. For a child, I always prefer doing the enrollment after the second lesson, but occasionally having to push it forward to a third lesson to have all the major makers there. But once you get beyond that, then it doesn't work very well. And the leverage, of course, and again, Greg, this is familiar to you, is it's got to be, normally it's $400. Our version of it is normally $400 to register. If you go ahead and register now, we give you a $200 credit for the stick that you came in. So it's just the first month free, so it's only $200 now. So, it'll be a pretty big financial leverage to give them some time leverage.
Okay. I pretty much got the concept. We're going to try it and see how it works.
Yeah, I mean, it, like any other idea, it works as well as the level of energy you put into it. But with a lot of enthusiasm and energy, it works fabulous. Zach, you were piping up there about the conversion process. How many enrollments would you say you guys have done on that one idea for years ago?
A huge number. Every event we go to, we get people to buy those cards as opposed to setting up appointments or collecting information. And those leads always turn in. We convert all those leads as opposed to having to go through and trying to get people to come in and buy a trial once they come in. So it's a much bigger conversion, and every event that we do, we get them to buy these cards, and we have our staff selling them so that the people are really, really excited about it. I would say that, after we've had probably 100 enrollments in the past year, in the first half of this year, from those cards.
Yeah, I think you're probably understating that, because I remember talking to your dad, and you had probably the first week of the year 25 enrollments from that.
From those cards alone, I was talking just to the school that I run.
Right.
That his numbers were from all the schools together in that first week.
Relocated, right. Yeah, fair point.
So,
very good. And Greg, does that help a little bit? We will have a bunch of different iterations of that artwork up in the member section before long. And you don't have to do any recreating the wheel on that.
Okay, I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And again, a great cover story there. I'm going to have to get you to give me an autographed copy of that.
No problem. Thank you.
Hey, and hopefully you've heard some feedback from some of the top EFC schools who are at the boot camp.
I'll be seeing everybody this month, and I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, we ended up with Terry Lee was there, which of course, is one of the top West Coast schools under Ernie Reyes. And then mm-hmm. Gila Valley was there. Debbie Thompson was there. Fred
Tim Bouchard.
Tim Bouchard was there. And Craig, what's Craig's last name?
Craig Haley.
Haley. Craig.
Yes.
So hopefully they got a lot of value.
Well, I will check them out and let you know.
Very good. Very good. Good. So other questions from the boot camp that we've been talking about or different ideas that Carol and Zach and Michael has shared?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I had a marketing question.
Go right ahead.
Hi, we do these like silent auction certificates where we'll donate a month of martial arts to a variety of private schools, public schools mostly, for different events. Anyone who ever asks us, we happily donate. And I probably do about two a month, and I'm not getting anyone to come in, hardly. And I'm wondering if you have a better offer. We always just offer a free month of lessons, and that doesn't seem to be doing the trick. I don't know if people are buying them and not coming in or just not buying it. But our goal is multifaceted. We want to raise money for whatever event that is, but we want people to come in the door. And I was wondering if you had any recommendations for a better offer to get them to come in.
Well, I don't know necessarily as a better offer. Let me expand upon what you're saying, though, real quickly. Is one of the things I always did is did a mailing to every public and private school at the beginning of the year with, let's say, three certificates for 3 months of lessons and said, this is good for any of your fundraising efforts, silent auctions, one thing or another. And I would mail it to the principals, the PD teacher, the PTO president in a big, fairly elaborate package. And would always do that at the beginning of school in January and usually in October. So I know I'm out of sequence there. But would mail them a big package for that, because if you kind of wait for them to come approach you, you miss a lot of them. The second thing is I would just make it part of my rounds that a couple times a month or at least once a month I'd stop by every school in the area and pick up their little student newsletters, look at the bulletin board, talk to the people at the front desk and know everything that was going on in the community. And so therefore when there was something like that going on, I could approach them rather than waiting for them to approach us. The third thing is when they had an event, we would always work on having a booth at the event, so us being there live. Because just the silent auction thing, what happens on it, and the rule of thumb is, in part, the longer the time period the certificate is, the worse results you get from the standpoint of them actually using it. So ironically, somebody can bid $50 and win the free year of lessons that you would charge them $2,000 for and never come in and use it. Where if it's something like a 5-week certificate, they're more likely to actually come in and use it. What's the psychology behind that? I don't know. But ironically, we found an inverse proportion there. The third thing is when they're promoting an event like that, what we'll do is talk to promoters and offer to give like a free package of a door prize to everybody who shows up, and then something nice and elaborate for the auction. An iteration, and it wasn't my idea, but several of our franchisees had brainstormed. And one of the other iterations has now been doing a big, like, elaborate basket for the silent auction rather than it just being a certificate. So they'll do a basket with a uniform and maybe some pads and a couple of other, you know, like rubber weapons or something like that, and a big elaborate presentation. And in our case, they give me a pretty elaborate CD, DVD, full color like deal. So they'll create like this elaborate basket so that there's this big tangible thing sitting there that people are bidding on, as opposed to it being an intangible concept of they're getting a certain number of lessons. I don't know if that helps, but
yeah.
When you look at it, the actual process of somebody bidding for something in a silent auction, you know, the redemption rate is pretty low. And frankly, if you got 10 different schools to have 3 items each and they sold them all, that's still only 30 people who paid a pretty low amount of money for something that you're trying to present as valuable. And the conversion rate tends not to be very high no matter what the offer is. But I've always tended towards it being something like 2 weeks or 4 weeks as a free certificate goes to everybody who shows up, and then something like a 3-month package, like you're saying, that they bid for. But the more you make it look extremely impressive, and the more you can create the value build, which of course is difficult in the abstract. So if the certificate for lessons, they don't know whether this is the equivalent of the nearly free thing they can buy in Groupon, or if it's really valuable. So therefore, you get unless they know, you don't get much of a price point.
Thank you so much.
Would they be able to get the information from the person who won?
You know, I've always found that difficult. I mean, the idea is always ask, right? To get that to happen in those kinds of environments, I've always found it's kind of difficult. Unless you're personally there. So if you can get them to let you set up a booth or to have a representative there or even have a little place where you can be teaching a little lesson. I mean, it depends on what it is. I know, like even at my kid's school, they have they call it Starry Starry Night, and they do it almost like it's a parents' night out, formal dinner type of thing. And in that kind of context, the kids aren't even there when people are bidding for the stuff. In other cases, it's more like a carnival environment, and all the kids are there, and there's booths and games and so forth. And I've ended up a lot of times where we're the only thing that even is semi-commercial is there. But, you know, it does, and the Boy Scouts are there interacting with all the kids and scheduling appointments and maybe selling something like this, this e-card idea at the thing. And that worked extremely well.
That's what I was going to say was that, you know, you laid out the plan, I think, that we know to be the highest predictability of success, but I think it might have gotten buried in there. Like quarterly, you should be sending a big envelope to every private school, public school, but I would also add to that list church, youth group, daycare center, you know, those types of things, because churches are doing those kind of activities like almost every quarter, you know. So my process was always quarterly I'm sending the package out, and the day the package hits on their desk, I go visit them. And like you said, go pick up their calendar of events, make sure you've got their newsletter, make sure that you know what activities they're having, what festivals they're having, and all that sort of stuff. The auction, for me, the auction item, the auction certificate or whatever, I never expected any results from it. That was always like my foot in the door to be able to walk in and talk to them about actually showing up to the event, doing a little booth model, and then you got a winner, you know. But just hoping that they're going to buy the thing and actually turn up, it's useful to get in the front door. I think that's the biggest point of leverage. But if you can discipline yourself to just set that mailer up every quarter and show up and talk to them, I think that's your winner. I think you described that, you know.
Yeah, and an awful of the reason we put in a big package in the mail is so that you're in front of the PE teacher, in front of the principal. And I would always preface the package is, you know, I'm sure you have some kids who are special needs or at risk whose family would not be able to afford lessons, you know, here's a certificate that you can give to them. Also feel free to use it for fundraising. Although if you need additional, you know, help with fundraising, please contact us first, because we have a whole bunch of ideas that we can contribute to help with that. And again, what I see a lot of people do is they mail a package to a school and they're disappointed they didn't get, you know, half of the column. You know, my experience was for every 100 packages I mailed out, I got like one call. But it was more seeding the territory for when I showed up at their doorstep, or, you know, in my case, you know, one of our staff members showed up at their doorstep. They now knew who we were and, you know, had a positive predisposition about who and what we were. And therefore, it reads the kids to be able to get something more significant going.
Yeah, and you know, you had mentioned earlier on the call when you were talking about, you know, your visit with Carroll School. And I'm not sure who just asked the question, but it's a really useful activity to force yourself to go visit these people, right? I mean, you know, you at a certain level, you're able to build enough relationship with the front desk person and the secretaries and the, you know, the assistants and the staff at the school, at elementary schools, churches, youth groups, whatever it might be, and you just kind of become a fixture. And they're not in the mode of, I know in Florida is a good example, you know, each district has what they call a business partner coordinator, where they work with the local business partners that they have for each of the schools when they have these things like carnivals and stuff like that they need sponsors for. But the thing is, that's not the business they're in. You know, this is not what they're focused on. So unless, you know, you're kind of proactively showing up in front of them on a very frequent and regular basis, it's scary how many opportunities really do kind of squeeze by you, because you're just not, you know, they're not looking, they don't think to figure out how you can fit into their structure and in their process. But if you knew that they were doing this, you know, like right now, down here is a great example. I mean, right now, everybody, all the elementary schools are in a Twitter about their Halloween activities, you know, their fall carnivals and all those types of things. And I mean, right now, if you don't have, I mean, every weekend, you know, these guys are doing something. You know, there's something going on in your community wrapped around Halloween or, you know, the harvest festivals or whatever they might be. You have to go out and get that information. It's not going to come to you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're lining up the harvest festival, back to school, or our Halloween activities, and doing the back to school activities.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be proactively involved with that. And the other thing, expand upon what you just said, is, you know, one of my weird idiosyncrasies over the years was always, of course, it was spread out between five or six locations. But I always know when I went to the schools a different place. So I went by different parks, different churches, different community centers. And, you know, I was always training my staff to do all this stuff. But in reality, I was always doing it myself. Usually the big events that they were in are ones that I discovered and set up for them, as opposed to they discovered and went out and proactively did it themselves. But you've got to be aware of all this stuff going on in your community. And if you're just out there looking at the bulletin board at the community center, looking at the bulletin board at the church, not being in the elementary school, and you know, driving by the big parks, looking at what's going on with you, you know, you missed just an incredible number of opportunities. It just never crosses your path without you being proactive and looking for this stuff. And as you, again, to reiterate what you said a minute ago, you can't be reactive. You can't be waiting for them to come to you, because 99% of the time they're not going to even think about it. So that's why, you know, clearly part of the value of advertising being in the front of people's mind. So you need to proactively be, you know, on the phone, on the fax, FedEx package, at their front door, going to all these different groups, organizations, community centers, and finding out what you can do to help them.
Yeah, no question. The one mile in that person's shoes. I mean, if you think about the average facilitator or coordinator at any of these community organizations, including schools, they're not, you know, entrepreneurial like we are. You know what I mean? They're not sort of, you know, in many cases it's punch the clock and, you know, that's their deal. So what you said is exactly right, and they're never going to be as, you know, intuitive or as creative about how we can help them. You know, they're in many cases fearful to call their business partners and ask them for things, you know, because, God, they don't want to be rejected, and they're not salespeople, and, oh, my God, what if they say no? And you know what I mean? It's natural human behavior. So you're exactly right. And, I mean, if you expand it beyond even elementary schools, youth groups, I mean, you know, your local community, I guess you have the Coliseum in Denver, but, you know, wherever they have conventions or trade shows and hotels that have big meetings and things like that, these are all exactly the same type of opportunity where, you know, especially right now, you know, the little Halloween costume shops and the little pumpkin vendors and those types of small businesses, it's exactly the same thing. All these people, there are ways that we can work with them to create this lead flow, but
yeah,
they never think to come to you. You know, you've got to go to them.
Well, and I'll point out what a few people who are setting themselves up for failure have done in the midst of our conversation here, is we've spent a lot of time talking about kids' groups and activities. So what they've said in their mind, which is a failure mechanism, is, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I teach adult Krav Maga, or I am doing women's cardio, or I'm doing men's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or I'm doing adult Muay Thai. Carol, would you address that? Does this same level of thinking apply to adults only?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, if you have limited time, you may not be going to a costume place for Halloween for kids stuff if you think that it's mostly kids. But honestly, I'm really shocked. We have a Krav Maga Halloween party, and adults are getting into costumes now more nowadays. So I would say go. See what it is. See if you can. And okay, if it doesn't work out, well, then maybe don't do it again. But a lot of the opportunities that I used to think were only for my, well, in my karate school, I have a lot of kids. And I thought, well, Krav Maga isn't going to be like that. I'm going to go to a sports bar and go there during a big football game and so forth. And, yeah, that makes sense. But some of the things that I do for the kids, I have found, you know what? Some of that works for the adults, too, and some of them have kids. So go there. Just be a presence, you know, then be known. And if it's a, say, a costume shop, for example, this being something I would have never done before, that's in Chinatown, in around the area downtown where my Krav Maga school is, before I would have thought that's too far away from where my karate school is. But like I said, go there, try it. The adults are doing stuff. Sometimes it's because they have kids, but get the word out every way you can think of.
Yeah, well, and the same concept, see, you don't go track down the adult audience at an elementary school carnival, although
right,
you can make an argument that you know, moms or dads are there and their prospective students too.
But it's hard to get them out.
Yeah, there are lots of other comparables where you can go find the adult audience, but that's the audience that we're predominantly targeting. And what I mean by that is, you know, and even on internal referral events, I mean, when I first started having really good success with internal referral events, it's when we were still 80% adults. I mean, I think it was before Karate Kid won.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having tremendous success with you know, 22 to 32-year-old adult male and female with, you know, referral events with Halloween parties, like you said, and stuff like that. The other thing is there are a tremendous number of organizations and events and activities where exactly your clientele hangs out. You know, whether it's a softball league or a fitness center or a community club and organization, you can go through the list. And again, Carol, what we were doing with your Krav school is we were literally walking around the block of the neighborhood going, oh, my God, look at all this opportunity. So it's just a matter of finding those places where those people hang out. And certainly, you know, the things we're doing with the movie theaters, I mean, that's not a kid's activity. That's a, you know, depends upon what movie is playing what day, depends on who's going to be there. So there's lots of those things with shopping malls, different groups and organizations that are really, it's just the concept is right. What organization or group you're going to go to depends upon what market you're targeting. You know,
and sometimes things that I used to think, like, say the Rape Crisis Center is having a fundraiser and it's a dodgeball term or something, and I used to think, well, only my, you know, Impact, which is all geared towards women's self-defense and stuff, will participate in that. Oh, my God, the Cravers loved it. They can hardly wait to go. And the thing is, I wasn't using it smart, but now that I know they love to go to this fundraiser, I'm going to go with, you know, e-cards and so forth, and get a whole bunch of other people that are there who are also in their 20s and 30s, and that's who loves to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, one of the, to me it was an off-the-wall idea because I had never seen it or thought about it before, but I don't know if Joe Berucki's on the call, but Joe Berucki had a dodgeball tournament as a student event that turned out to be one of his biggest referral activities ever. And, you know, frankly, hate to admit it, never would have dawned on me, and I had never heard it before. And when he said it, I thought it was kind of funny. And then he told me the numbers. I was a media convert. You know, I'm a stats guy. If it generates generates enrollments, I like it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, so it's just being aware of those opportunities. And I got to tell you what, the nice thing about the kids market is there's a limited number of places where we know we can go find them in mass. A limited number of places that we know we can go find them all in a group.
Oh.
So we know that daycares and public elementary schools and private elementary schools and church youth groups, we can go find a bunch of them all in one place. The nice thing about the adult market is, frankly, there's a bigger list and there's more places we can find them. So you know, it's all a matter of which lens you have on, of which opportunity you want to exploit. But all these same ideas work. The concept works just as well for Krav Maga or for Muay Thai or for Zen Jiu-Jitsu or for kids, you know, traditional karate or, you know, Taekwondo. It's just a matter of reframing it to the right audience. Well, good. Ask Norrie, do we have any other questions on that topic?
I'm not seeing any other hands up. I think we're pretty good.
Okay. The let me remind everybody who was not at the boot camp that we did record the entire thing. If you call Bob at the office, 727-540-0500, extension 202. If I went through that too fast, just go to NABNA.com and remember extension 202. Is he can tell you how you can get the entire thing for the entire recording. It was you know, a very expensive event. It was either a free member benefit for Inner Circle or Peak Performers or a $4,950 paid boot camp otherwise. So we were going to spend a little bit of time on multi-schools, and we spent a lot of time on marketing, which I think is very valuable. We're going to really launch our first focused effort on multi-school with Inner Circle and Peak Performers at this event in Anaheim. And so we have some of our high-level schools doing one of a couple of different courses at Disney University and sharing with everybody, and then we're going to pull the multi-school owners aside and deal specifically with multi-school operational issues. What are some of the key questions you've had from multi-school owners? Obviously, most of what they see in the industry is not targeted at them, and I don't think there's anybody in the industry who's had more multi-school experience than Jeff Smith and myself. So we're really going to nail down into that. And, of course, you were running three locations.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it was kind of 40,000 foot in the air, but there are some, like, specific fundamental systems that you have to have in place. I think maybe the first place to start, and again, this is probably going to have to be a conversation for another day. We're about 4 minutes from our allotted time today. But, yeah, you know, it's a lot of people are, they're unclear about whether they're there yet, whether they're at a position where they can, whether they should or could be thinking about multis. And a good number of our folks are. A good number of our folks are in a position right now where the next logical step for them is a second, third, and fourth location. But there are some litmus tests. You know, there are some things that you want to make sure, some measurements that you can take, and, you know, the relative health of the current business and some things like that you should be looking at before you really want to step outside the bounds of the first location. So I think that was kind of like the first question that I had that people were sort of asking was, you know, kind of how do I know when I'm ready? What are the benchmarks? You know, what am I looking at so I don't, you know, try to step out of the gate too quickly and not be prepared?
Well, as we know, what happens 9 times out of 10 is when a relatively successful single school operator goes to open the second school, they do it poorly. And what happens is so many of times what happens is one of two scenarios. The owner stays as the primary operator of the first location and has his loyal, what he thinks is well-trained staff to open the second location. The second location never gets off the ground and continues to drain money and resources from the first location. And what happens is the first location drops. And, you know, let's take a scenario of location one's doing $40,000 a month, location two opens up. Now location one is doing $25,000, $30,000 a month, and location two is doing 10. Combined gross about the same as it was before with double the expenses. That, you know, that's always a bad scenario. You know, scenario two is owner-operator goes and opens the second location, leaves staff in place in the first location. Second location gets off the ground and is a big hit. The second location slowly sinks. And now you have the main school wherever the owner's at and the secondary school never quite getting equal numbers. You know, but frankly, back all the way back to 83 when I opened the five schools back-to-back, my role at the time was only to do grand opening. So I would get a school up, and I always figured it was about 90 days. So I would spend 90 days to maybe 4 or 5 months at a location with a mission to be 100 students in the first month, 200 by the first 90 days, positive cash flow from day one, usually huge avalanches of cash on month 3, 4, and 5 from renewals from the flood of enrollments they could do at the beginning. And then I was on to the next, on to the next. But, you know, one rule of thumb is that 2 is a really bad number. Is so many times you either do the scenario A or scenario B I just talked about with 2, and really what you've got to do is once you become a multi-school operator is you're now not in the role of doing the specifics of operating unit one, but you're in the role of supervising the all the staff and training all the staff. And the one thing I would say that you probably don't know how to organize and orchestrate the marketing on a minute basis, but if you're having to do first intros, second intros, enrollment conferences, renewal conferences, or heaven forbid, teaching classes other than occasional black belt classes, is you're doomed for failure as a multi-school operator. So, I've always coached people, either go to 3 or 4 and become a multi-school operator, or you stay at 1 and maximize the net. The other thing is, the worst reason in the world to go to multiples is to make more money because, you double the headaches, and as we said, oftentimes the cash flow drops off. Anything to add to that, Master Novi, if we have to sign off today?
Well, no, I mean, just my test always was, and when I'm working with people who are at this stage, I always want to make sure that someone is set up for success, not set up for failure. And kind of a litmus test that I think is pretty useful is, can you go on vacation for 3 months, and with a small amount of added distance supervision, what are the results of the school going to be when you get back? And what are they while you're gone? Do they need your minute-by-minute presence, day-by-day presence at that single location? And if the answer is they do need your day-by-day presence, then you're absolutely not ready, to step out of the box yet. I mean, this thing can't rely on your personality to exist. This isn't about how can you run around to 3 locations and spend a third of a day at each one or spend a day at each one and just kind of keep repeating. That doesn't work. It makes a very stressful life. You have to manage systems, not, be the personality behind everything that happens.
And if you're doing that, you're getting a third of the results at each location. So it's counterproductive.
With 3 times the expenses, yeah.
Yeah, we'll spend a lot more time on multi-schools as we go here, but I know we're out of time today. I would remind everybody that we have Anaheim coming up, 1st of October. We're RSVPing and nailing that down now. So anybody who's not already in P Performance Inner Circle, call the office. You can learn a little bit more about that. The other thing is I'd remind everybody that we did a very professional job of recording the boot camp. So if you want to get your hands on that recording, just call the office, again, extension 202, and Bob can walk you through how to do that. Again, anybody who wants more information on the Memorial for Joe Lewis, I'd recommend you just hook up with me on Facebook, or we can give you the information directly. But the Memorial Service is in Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend. That's all I have, Master Norwood. Anything else?
I think it's it.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Hopefully it was a lot of value.
Great. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.